I presume to speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Has anybody here ever had leprosy? Have you ever met anybody who had leprosy? It's pretty unpleasant. And people who had leprosy were separated from the rest of the communities, usually. They were known to wear little bells on their garments so that they would warn people if they were coming into their presence, so that people could separate, get away from them. So it's a little bit surprising that Naaman, as a general, seemed to still be in the midst of his army. And he went to his king and said he had heard that he could go to Israel and be cured. That's pretty astonishing. It's a wonderful story. Have you ever been set up like the king of Israel thought he was being set up? Have you ever set anybody else up? So, poor old Naaman goes to Elijah. And Elisha doesn't even come out of his house to see him. Can you imagine a man of position and power and authority being ignored and sending a servant out to say, go wash yourself in the Jordan River 7 times and everything will be okay? Well, isn't it wonderful in the biblical story how the servants become real heroes and the ones who bear the wisdom? And the servant says to Naaman, if he'd asked you to do something that was really hard, you would have done it. So Naaman goes down and dips himself in the Jordan River 7 times. Anybody visit the Jordan River? Do you think you'd want to dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times? I can understand him saying that the rivers of Damascus were cleaner than the River Jordan. But anyway, he came out of the river and he was clean. Now, there's a wonderful legend that goes along with this story. And that is that before Naaman returned home, he got a whole bag full of earth from Israel to take with him. And when he got home, every time he prayed, he went to a place that he had laid out in his yard with that dirt from Israel. Because that meant to him he was in the presence of the God who had cleansed him. You ever heard that story? Good, I'm going to publish it next week. The things that remind us that we are in the presence of God. Do you have things like that in this space that you acknowledge when you come in? You remember the story of the burning bush? Moses stopped, saw this bush that was burning and it wasn't being consumed. And out of pure curiosity, he went to investigate the whole thing. And God spoke to him and said, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. Last week on Tuesday, we had a session of contemplative prayer. And I thought one of the things we might do is to remind ourselves that we're on holy ground. So I asked everybody to take off their shoes. You can do that in the summertime around here. And I never had an opportunity to find out at the end whether anybody felt any different. But most of the time, we don't spend our time barefooted in the space in which we worship. So what reminds you that this is a holy place? And that we are, when we gather here, in the presence of a surrounded by people we know and love, if I may add that word. People with whom we have intimate relationships. We have come together here today primarily to give praise to God, to thank God for all the blessings that God has so richly bestowed upon us. But we need reminders, because sometimes we see somebody we haven't seen in a week, and we spend more time engaging them in conversation than we do in thinking about the person behind us who may be trying to say their prayers. It's hard to do. We have to make choices. When you walk through this lovely chapter, is it a passageway? Or is it a holy place? Is that table there an altar equivalent to this table here? There's a light on the wall in here and a little door. Inside that door, reserved sacrament rests, the body and blood of Christ, and that light indicates the presence of God in that space. Do we acknowledge that as we walk through that space? Do we remember, do we stop for just a moment and think about what is being presented to us here in this space at this time as I'm walking through this area? Are we intent on getting to the coffee? Or do we enjoy and set apart and celebrate that moment of being in the presence of the risen Christ? Offers himself to nourish us and to feed us and to give us everything we need to be the body of Christ when we go out through those doors. The gospel this morning warns us in a very subtle kind of way not to go out those doors alone. At least we should go out 2 by 2. And when you encounter people driving by, sometimes they're very nice, they stop and let you cross the street. That's really good. But you ought to say a little prayer for them as you go across the street. And maybe even make the sign of the cross on your own body to let them know that you're thanking them for allowing you to get across the street in safety. Remind them of where you have been and what you have been doing in this space while they were out riding around. That's a part of the mission we're given. We are to go out 2 by 2 to present to a world of wolves. Anybody ever seen a wolf? Been in the presence of a wolf? It's kind of scary. Even when they're in a pet. There's a wonderful book. What's the title of it?
Dancing with Wolves.
There's a book about dancing with wolves. There's a book about a person who spends all of his life following wolves around in the woods. The wolf. Wolves are not normally friendly beasts except to other wolves. So when you go out into the world, know that you are at risk. But you don't have to be afraid. This is by way of review. What is the most frequently repeated phrase in the Bible is?
You're not
afraid. Oh, right. then you're done that, you're great. Okay. We don't have to be afraid because God is present. We don't have to be afraid because God has assured us He will never be alone. We don't have to be afraid even though there are wolves out there, because we are the body of Christ. What an awesome gift. We come here every week to nourish and refresh that memory of who we are. So when we go out that door today, go with joy, knowing you aren't alone. Take somebody by the hand and let the world know they are alone.